Alyssa.
I just think it's kind of interesting that the system infrastructure and supports kind of sits towards the bottom, because a lot of this really depends on that. And, you know, to me, you know, understanding performance, understanding what's working and what doesn't work is really an important part of some of this. And it just seems to me that we might not be able to achieve some of the things at the top of the list unless we invest in some of that.
I mean, just building on that, you know, it must have something to do with the way this is sort of, you know, organized into domains and subdomains. But when you get down to what underlies these broad topics, I mean, shared decision-making looks like it's the second highest rated, you know, condition, and yet it's in a domain that's fifth, you know. I mean, it doesn't... There's a disconnect here that I think we're creating a structure at the high level that when you dig down deep and you look at the underlying, the underpinnings of those larger domains, and we have more clarity about what we're actually talking about, I think you're getting a more robust assessment of what, you know, the committee at large is feeling is really important. And so I'm just very concerned that this whole big domain structure, even though it fits in with other metrics, isn't really serving its purpose. If you want to sort of rate these larger domains, then add up all the categories in their subcomponents and come up with a global score for those domains to do it. But when there's more a more tangible concept that we're talking about, I think we're, you know, rating it very differently than at this higher, more global level.
These are concepts, and they're useful only to an extent. They're not, you know, we shouldn't use them more than what we want. But what it says to us is it gives us a sense of priority about where to start. And I don't know about how you do things, but in any domain that you have, I mean, somebody comes to you with a good idea, and you say, yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe we ought to do it that way. And it's actually sort of random, as opposed to thoughtful. So, you know, this does give us some information. It doesn't say anything about the fact that these things, some of these things are unimportant and some of them are, you know, important. It says they're all important, but where would you start? I mean, if you think about even some of the subdomains in terms of shared decision-making, where would you start there within that topic? Because they're literally, you know, well, I shouldn't have said that to you, John, in particular, because I know the answer. But, you know, the problem is repeated itself over and over again in terms of, but it does give a sense of priority.
But it does articulate, I mean, shared decision-making is a great example. I mean, it is the key thing for which we all say it's very important, and there's no way to measure the quality of it. I mean, people have done very cumbersome, very crude, very inefficient mechanisms that don't really capture the quality of shared decision-making well. And, you know, so we're to highlight gaps. That's a huge gap. We need national resources to get out there and do the focus groups and figure out how to develop a coherent measure and metrics so that we can compare the quality of shared decision-making across hospitals and providers. Yes.
Well, that's a good comment. But let's try to keep our comments, and I led you down that pathway. I apologize for it. Yeah, it's my fault. But let's keep our comments at the domain level, because we're going to repeat the conversation for the subdomain level. Gareth?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem to have changed, in my mind at least, dramatically from how we voted beforehand in terms of the domains. I guess the thing about when I was looking at palliative care and we've ended up with zero votes, it's slightly uncomfortable. But I'm also thinking all the other domains there are really kind of, I feel like, cross-cutting. I can see them being applied in a number of areas, whereas a palliative care one seems to be its own area, if you like. So it kind of makes sense, I think. So I'm okay in the end.
I'm just, as I just got the subdomain results in front of me, it's interesting that the tallies are a lot closer when you add up what's under each subdomain, the total votes.
Let's wait to discuss that till later. Let's stay
sure.
At this domain level.
Well, I don't have much. The domain ranking is not that surprising to me, and I guess I'll reserve my other comments for the subdomain discussion.
Me, I guess. Yeah, I'm, you know, agreeing with the top two choices from my perspective, representing hospitals. That's what it's all about. I mean, I think everything else can be subsumed under that. You can make an argument for only having two domains and putting everything under that from a hospital perspective. So I'm kind of not surprised with it, because these days, that's what it is. It's resource use, it's appropriateness, it's care coordination, it's management. And if you do all those things well, then you do everything else well.
Can you just talk a minute longer about why that's the case from your perspective?
Well,
why those are the top two? I mean, what is the reason that resource use and care coordination are such a big focus or priority? Just so we have a little bit of a rationale
where I come from, and it may not be the same all over the country, but hospitals are in very, very bad financial condition. If a hospital fails, and we've failed 20 hospitals in New Jersey over the past 15 years, those communities are without that asset completely. And it goes back to the old saying our CEO used to talk about, no money, no mission, stuff like that. Unless you can provide high quality, very efficient care, and those things I think are the same in many ways, then the hospital's ability to reinvest in plant and equipment and programs is markedly diminished. And unless you can reinvest in plant and equipment and programs, the quality, overall quality of your ability to provide care to individuals, to medically disadvantaged groups, to individuals who are uninsured. In New Jersey, we refer to that as a charity care, but that's the name of the program. You find yourself being unable to actually do what you want to do. That requires care coordination, management, a large amount of attention to the continuum of care issues. The issues of palliative care and resource consumption are very much intertwined in things like this. End-of-life care, very much intertwined in this. So that our approach is to try and get the physicians in our system, that's 4,500 physicians, to practice more efficiently, to have a high regard for resource consumption, and at the same time to provide high-quality care. We think those two things are very, very much interconnected rather than mutually exclusive. So it becomes an issue of survival of the institution and moving the institution to a position where it can afford to provide the high-quality care that the community wants.
So that resonates.
Yeah.
Okay. Chesley?
I'm personally disappointed about the population health being near the bottom, which is not much different than what we had before earlier today. For some of the same reasons that were mentioned about system infrastructure supports and palliative care, there's an observation I have based on what Fred just said, that when you think about hospitals in this whole process and the two domains at the top being very central to what's happening in hospitals, I wonder aloud whether we have too hospital-centric of a focus. I don't know that we've talked about that explicitly, but I wonder about that. And I find it interesting that one of the ways to address resource use and overuse especially is actually to do a better job with population health and palliative care. And yet those rank at the bottom, so there's something conceptually inconsistent about what we're doing here.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, when we look at the national priority partners' priorities, when we look at this conversation, this is primarily a healthcare delivery group or focus, and it's our take on these priorities. And that's what Medicare is concerned with. So, the people in the room are not as broadly constituted, as might be constituted if you were, looking, broadly. And so I think one thing we might want to note in the text is that far from being low on a priority list, population health is actually making the list for a group that's not primarily concerned with that. I mean, what people in the room are concerned about is healthcare delivery for the most part and in this exercise. I, And I say that to be a bit provocative, because I know that people aren't quite that way. I mean, there's a broader view of it. But I think it does have something to do with the composition of the group and the concerns and the focus of healthcare reform, quite frankly.
If I could, it's not really a rebuttal, but if I could respond. Healthcare delivery centric is different than being hospital or specialty service centric. And I think that healthcare delivery is very broad nowadays.
Yeah.
We've heard about long-term care. We know about hospice and palliative care programs in the home. And I just find it interesting that the things that really drive specialty and hospital care are the things that we fund at the very top.
Yeah.
And we're not really considering some of these other things.
No, okay, I'll take your point. So, Lynn?
Well, I would just add that from my own point of view, I take a much broader view of healthcare, and I do include social supports and link to the community. And when I look at care coordination and management, to be successful, to reduce hospital readmissions and all of that, we have to link to home and community supports. So I just want to go on the record with that.
Kent.
I think a nice segue from Chesley and Lynn. I recall the New England Journal of Medicine article that talked about, I think it was for 1 month, there was 1,000 symptoms. And I think it was only 3 or 4 people got hospitalized. And the vast majority of care in America today is in the home, is in the community, is in the outpatient clinic, not in the hospital. And I think that this domain voting does really represent the unsustainable business model of the hospital. And that's not where we're going, and that's not really where we should be today. Palliative care, I think, in one sense, I think can be subsumed under resource overuse. So I think that's really important, that to me there's a lot of overuse and underuse in palliative care that could be put into the first domain. But this domain voting, I think, really does represent the past and not the future of medicine.
Yeah, I don't call it healthcare delivery. I say our focus is so much on episodic than rather longitudinal. I was a little disappointed in systems being so far down the line, because if we were thinking about short term, without the systems, as Anna said, you can't have a lot of these other things, because that's somewhat a little disappointed in somewhat the reform going before the infrastructure. And the infrastructure is so important, and that's where systems and support is. And then once you prioritize something, whether you want it to be priority and one is better than another, I would recommend that they all have zero priority and do what Farzad said and had, make sure there's X number of quality measures within each one of these domains, and not make it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which human nature puts as a priority that one's better than two, and that maybe there is no priorities.
The way we're doing these, you know, you don't have to march, you know, through the domain and then the things in that domain. I mean, the consolidated list allows you to pick the top by each domain. The advantage to ranking is that it gives some sense of where to start. I mean,
and I understand that. So. It's just, you know, like palliative care and all these other things.
Yeah.
We really do think of them as very, very high.
Yeah.
But there's a number of people commented on how bad it is to be low.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just don't know that that's the case. I mean, because we are a broad, we have a number of different constituencies here at this table. And so depending upon how you look at this list, and we know from the conversations we have that all of us look at it slightly differently. And if we're collectively going to come together around some list of priority, you know, some will be higher than others. But there's not one thing on this list, in my opinion, that isn't important. So you could make much more of this priority than it is. All it is a place to start among important things, I think. So I think you have to, it's not a life or death kind of thing. But it does give a sense of where you start, you know, and what's important. If someone could make a comment as we go around the room that would really radically think, change people's thinking collectively and say, we got it wrong, we all should change our votes and move some, that would be a significant kind of thing to come up in the discussion. But if it's a reflection of independent sort of disappointment on one item or another, depending upon where you sit, you know, I think we all have to get collectively comfortable with that. Because I have disappointments myself on this list. I think all of us might have it. If it was just me doing it, I might do it differently. If it was just you doing it, you might do it differently.
Yeah, well, my comment on systems were just that if you don't have the systems, you might not have any of those things that are
out there. It's a great comment. I think that's a great comment. Great comment.
I really don't have too much to add. It's kind of the advantage of being towards the end of the comments. I am also surprised that system infrastructure, after all our discussion, and particularly after the IT, that it fell so far down. I'm not clear what that means or what we're saying, but I found this really hard to do because all the areas were so important. So I think it's just relative in a sense. So I'm comfortable.
I'm comfortable with the list as well, and I'm struck like Gareth was with we've been through this at least three times, and the last three lists are pretty much in the same order. And we either came in with very strong biases and won't change our minds, or we've just convinced everybody that we're really all in agreement. And like Bill said, if I had another dot to place, I'd stick it in safety to move it up further. Although at one of our first couple of meetings, I'd made the comment that safety was at the bottom of the list, and that was concerning me. So I'm glad to see it move its way halfway up. There's some change.
So I actually find this whole process really interesting. So, you know, I've heard this wonderful conversation, for instance, from many members of the committee that palliative care is really important, and yet nobody voted for it. And then my second reflection is that I actually had to go back to what's the name of our committee, and it's Major Prioritization Advisory Committee. And so, you know, when I was thinking about prioritizing measures, not health system resources. So if I were voting on health system resources, I would have put system infrastructure really high. But that's not what I'm voting on. I don't know that I need a robust set of performance metrics around HIT implementation. I think we need performance metrics around things like resource overuse and care coordination, because I have fairly good evidence that when we measure things and hold people accountable, care actually improves. I agree with everybody. In fact, my written comment is that, sure, we need system infrastructure, but I don't know we need measures of system infrastructure. We need system infrastructure. What we need measures of are care processes, coordination, family engagement, and those things.
A very helpful comment, Dale. Thank you. Farza, did you want to make another comment?
My only comment was that is one area where I think, and John's comment spoke to this as well, where the population health may have slipped, where consideration of the preventable burden of whatever condition or the quality measure that's being treated, I think more than X number of us would agree that measures that affect more people, that are more preventable, that are more intervenable, that we can make a bigger impact on people's living longer, should be prioritized. And that's the one thing that I worry isn't being captured in terms of what measures should be prioritized from this list.
On the phone, who have we got on the phone yet?
Christy.
Christy's on the phone.
Bobby Berkowitz, I think, may have left. Madhavi Vermetti, I don't know if you're still on the phone.
Hello? Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. I just wanted to peep so you knew I was here.
Christy or Madhavi?
So, Christy, we're just going over the comfort level on the domain voting that Sarah had emailed you with the results. If you had any comments or questions.
Wasn't examining my email every second. Okay, why don't you go ahead, and if I have comments, I'll let you know.
Well, and this is Madhavi, just to jump in. I think I sort of echo some of the similar feedback from the team in that I think I'm comfortable with the top three that we've selected, and it's not to say that, you know, the other areas aren't important, but I guess if the objective is to identify where we need to start, I think I'm comfortable with the three that we've identified.
This is Christy. The only thing I'd say is resource use and overuse has a lot less application for child health, and I just wanted to note that were we to do some population-specific voting, we may have come out differently, and otherwise, the next three look good as domains, and I explained in the LEAMI the overlap I see between the care coordination and management and patient engagement, so that's part of why I'm comfortable with that. And health status and population health, those are, you know, overlapping.
Yeah, very good of you to draw attention to the fact that if we did any number of subpopulations, we might have done this differently.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't. So at this point, I think the one suggestion I heard out of the comments was should we continue to include palliative care or not? And now, from a methodologic point of view, I mean, it seems like dropping something at this point would be difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we may have to handle the result of the voting by making comments about the fact that it doesn't reflect the fact that it's not important, but it does reflect the sense of priority of the committee in terms of the fact that there are other things that are opportunities for measurement at this point in time that rank above it.
I like that in the report because, you know, at one point or another, this is relevant for all of us, and I think it would be really problematic to not have something basic in place for that sector of healthcare.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm actually bringing it up at this point, Christy, to figure out how we're going to deal with it and make sure that we have a way of emphasizing that point. So, yes, and I see Tom nodding his head very clearly that, yes, the report needs to deal with that issue. Is that I didn't hear any other suggestions for making major moves. Unless someone would like to now at this point make one. Ira?
I think what you've been hearing from the group is one way or another in the report you're going to have to deal with the inconsistencies between the voting at the domain and subdomain level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's you can handle that in several ways, but there are some inconsistencies here. And if you want to talk about it, we can, but...
Yeah, I think it would be helpful to hear further comments. I guess just to remind everyone how we dealt with this in our first report, remember we had a very similar format for our report that was Medicare-only focused. What we did was we reported all of this information. We noted that the methodology allowed for these different perspectives, but we didn't choose one over another because we felt like they both added value to the discussion and potentially to policymakers, depending on what decision they were looking to make. So unless you think that approach of providing a couple of different perspectives isn't useful, I'm not sure that we necessarily have to totally reconcile that.
I think the point someone made before is really right on target, which is the subdomains are much crisper, clearer, and I think people had an easier time voting on that. And you're going to need, I would suggest that you find some wording that doesn't downplay the domains, but I think perhaps the domains and the subdomains really, quite frankly, have different values or different meanings in terms of how you're going to use that information. I think that's what you need to distinguish. Because
I would suspect also with the subdomain voting, so many hate to use the word arbitrary, but we couldn't be really anything but arbitrary in our assignment of subdomains to other domains. And if you look at these, they could just as easily fit in three or four of the other universes here. So I agree with Ira and George very much that we need to, in the report, really look at them somewhat differently, and the focus being on those issues identified in the subdomains, I think add a lot more clarity, especially when we're talking about measurement. The one thing I noticed on the last one on domain 8 under ambulatory setting, during one of our early sessions, there was a substantial amount of discussion about where we really need measures is in the ambulatory setting, because that's where 90% of the care is delivered, and it seems to have lost a substantial amount of momentum over time, and I wonder if that's because of where it's been assigned or whether the group has really changed its mind about its priority. That's the puzzle I see on the subdomain list at the moment.
And take a look at the voting results. And I don't know how to summarize this for you, so I think we ought to just take a moment to look at this. And then what I'd like to do in a manner that's similar to the discussion we just had is just go back around the table and gather comments about this. So
And I know, Tom, you did a nice job earlier of noting the overlap not only between domains and the subdomains between domains, but also even within one. And so my point is really about that. The communication, for example, is an 11, which is great. The way I think of medical home and measuring medical home incorporates the concept of communication and care coordination, which is a common definition. So there's some subsetting that went on in some of the voting, I'm concerned. So when the presentation of this, I think it's going to be really important to acknowledge. If you were to measure medical home, one of the pieces that would come out of doing that well would be information about communication, for example.
So in the report, we'll be setting up this tension. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know, if you're a lumper and you like getting to the domain level, then we see a trade-off there because we describe them as not as fully defined and not as crisp. When you start to get to the subdomain level, the trade-off there is that we get much more division, but they're categories that aren't mutually exclusive. So finding this middle ground where everybody can agree on the categories among the lumpers and the splitters, I think is going to be an impossible task, but I think it's one that we tried to do in defining these subdomains, but then as Christy points out and others have in their comments to date, we start to get categories that really begin to overlap. So we'll play all that out in the report to capture all the different issues that you all have raised.
Let's start here going around again. Carrie, do you want to start? Well, no, let's start with you, Dale, and we'll come back around. We'll go the opposite way this time.
All right, so I think we've all noted some differences between the subdomains and the domains. That, you know, appropriateness and efficiency at the top of the list didn't surprise me, and I think, you know, we have to get cost under control in some way, or none of the rest of the domains may or subdomains may matter. The point I wanted to make was that I was one of the people that did vote for shared decision making pretty high, and I actually think that a lot of palliative end of life care falls under shared decision making, and so I had trouble with some of the subdomains under palliative care, but shared decision making really covered a lot of things I think about end of life care, and that's why I certainly put that as one of my top areas.
And you have to go soon for us, so why don't you go ahead and make some comments?
So my hope had been in this process that there would be at least one area of focus or priority for each of the domains, and I think it's not bad.
Right.
Where
right.
When you look at the top, top seven, there's one in each domain, except for palliative care and system infrastructure supports. And honestly, I didn't vote for system infrastructure supports because of the point that Dale made. I don't necessarily think that what the gap that we have is around the measurement of it. I think it's the supports being in care in place. So I'm pretty pleased. The one that I think about in terms of the lumping splitting is transitions in communication around care coordination. So whether closing the referral loop is, I think it's both transitions and communication. Those two are highly linked concepts. So if there's one that I might consider asking for clarification on, it's that. But essentially, it doesn't. I'm pretty satisfied.
Okay, Gary. Thank you.
I'm not sure I've got much else to add to what I had previously said. I agree with the comments that I think it's a good sign that there are one or two subdomains within each domain that rise to the top, and it is interesting that if we were to put all the subdomains in rank order, ignoring the domains that they're in, that list is the top 10, in my mind, are pretty much the right things. So it becomes less an issue as did we put them in the right domain as to what are we really focused on.
I agree with what Carrie's just said. When I first looked at this, I said, well, wow, this is really interesting. But as I looked at the subdomains, really... they make sense. It kind of matches, except for one, which is near and dear to my heart, didn't rise to the top or didn't rise anywhere, and that was productivity, which is an area that's very key for behavioral health because it does affect that so greatly. But, other than that, I'm pretty comfortable with what we've decided here.
I really don't have anything to add from what I've said.
I was pleased that shared decision-making scored as high as it did in recent conversations with the Foundation for Informed Medical Decision-Making and Victor Montori at the Mayo Clinic. They, who know a lot about this shared decision-making, claim that there are all sorts of tools that have been vetted that work, and the main problem is dissemination and actually getting providers to know about the tools that are available. So... in that sense, and I'm not sure it just stays under domain 5, it seems like shared decision-making could almost be under almost any of the domains.
I'm fast-forwarding to 10 years from now, and I'm a little disappointed that workforce development didn't rise higher up, because if we don't have performance measures that look at the competency of practitioners and providers, I think all the payment and delivery system changes isn't going to be as valued. So I would have liked to have seen that a little higher, but otherwise I think it makes sense given our discussion.
About that too, although I kind of see that under self-regulation and accreditation, and there's all kinds of systems in place that deal with that, and I thought of this committee as being above those mechanisms, so I agree with it, that it's important, but I sort of classified it as being handled under those other rubrics.
I agree with the previous comments. One additional comment is that if you look at Domain 8, safety, medication safety is second there, and then if you look at Domain 1, medication management's tied for second there, and yet when you think about medications, that could be potentially somehow lumped and address medications.
Yeah, well, just kind of building on what I said before, the way I would define efficiency under domain 7 appropriateness and efficiency, which was a high scorer, is the way we use the term efficiency is that care which is of the lowest possible cost at the highest possible quality, producing the greatest amount of patient satisfaction. That's efficient care. And with that, communication, medication management, shared decision-making are all part of it. So when I look at something like appropriateness and efficiency, that to me is high-quality, good, cost-efficient care which incorporates as much of the shared decision-making as is possible in the context of the care management plan. That's why I'm happy with that being high.
I think this ranking does a better job of zeroing in on the specific measures or the specific areas of the measures that we want to prioritize. And I think the top several of them are all certainly worthy, and I don't have any significant issues with the list.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is interesting. I think, going back to one of the things I was saying earlier about my own internal conceptual model, which I think is about trying to say, well, okay, how would we go about improving outcomes? How would we go about improving health status? And I think what we might be saying is that we go about that primarily through improving care coordination and management as one of the key drivers of that. There's also this issue about resource use. And I think... one of the reasons I don't know why shared decision making might have come up so high on the kind of individual rankings is because it may get at probably both care coordination and management and resource use, I think. So I'm wondering if that's what's going on here. So I'm okay with all of this. I think it doing the sort of double voting exercise does raise the kind of tension between that kind of top-down, applying the big domains and then looking at subdomains afterwards versus putting everything out there and then trying to identify the bigger domains afterwards. I'm not sure if that's something we really want to get into right now, but I think it does raise that tension.
While the perhaps lack of consistency between the two methods in the ranking the subs versus the overall does trouble me a bit, I think... more important to me is putting together or building on two comments that were made. One is distinguishing between setting priority for measures and setting priorities for issues in the health system. And I think implicit in the minds of many people and maybe even unconscious have been commingling or discussion of issues from different points of view, some being where should resources be put in the health system. Some are where should we be measuring things. Some might be even different sort of paradigms about what's important to be focusing on. Where should education be focused? There are a whole number of different issues about areas in the healthcare system that we think aren't right, where we think we ought to focus. And in the measure area, there are a number of different issues. One is what are important areas to measure in terms of the potential to improve health status, but there also are where are there currently measures and where aren't there? And I know these were taken into account in a number of our discussions before. There's also how measurable are things. I'm involved in another endeavor where, for instance, transitions of care were considered a very high priority. A number of very erudite individuals spent a great deal of time, and we finally put the whole thing on the shelf because nobody could come up with any measures that were quantifiable that we were comfortable with. So I guess in our discussions going forward, staying focused, as it was previously suggested, on the fact that this is a measure prioritization committee, not an educational prioritization or a resource allocation prioritization would be helpful. And building on that, I would say just very quickly and in a quick and dirty way, saying what's an area that's very important where there aren't very many measures that we really ought to be looking at, and I probably didn't have this in my mind enough either, is the ambulatory area. Boy, do we need to focus there in terms of measures, and aren't there a relatively few measures in terms of looking at that population?
I really have nothing to add. I think that this is more tractable for me in the way I think, to look at the subdomains and the broader domains, and I think it provides more guidance as to where to focus our efforts. All the points are great.
Yeah, thanks. the phone people. So, telephone people. So, Christy, we've heard from you already a couple times, but I want to give you another shot if you have some more comments. Christy?
Leave it where I left it.
Who else is still on the phone?
And then I think Madhavi, if you're still on the phone.
Madhavi?
Yes, I'm here. No, I didn't have any specific comments. I think I was okay with where we landed with the subdomains.
So my comment is down under the resource use overuse, and I certainly agree that appropriateness and efficiency is a high priority. But I think that there's a really compelling need for measuring total cost, direct cost, particularly with the ACO development as an outcome for accountable care organizations. In fact, I think it's so urgent a need that in the conversations on ACOs, I've really been pushing that point pretty hard. And actually, our own group is proposing that our community collaborative within the RWJ grant really work on a way of developing an open architecture, a total cost of care measure for the purpose of looking at care system costs. I would just make that comment. I'm not really unhappy with the way this turned out, but I think there's actually a compelling need given the policy development of ACOs, actually an urgent need for that work to move forward. So I just make that comment for the report. I guess up under health status, I certainly agree, again, that function, symptoms, and quality of life are important. But in our own system, we're thinking about whether we shouldn't be looking at, and this is a rather, maybe perhaps a small point, but really looking at well-being and measures of well-being in individuals and in populations as measures of that we ought to be looking at. I do echo Rhonda's comments around productivity. Just having looked at some data on productivity, just actually in depression, just the other day, when you look at estimated costs related to productivity in dealing with depression effectively, I mean, they're just huge gains there. They far overshadow the gains in other areas. And getting measures of productivity is very hard. So that would be another comment I would make. I'm real pleased, as others have said, about the focus on shared decision-making. Actually fairly pleased that we got a lot of votes for effective preventive services and healthy lifestyle behaviors in the population health category. So just some comments. Express dissatisfaction. I'm actually quite satisfied myself, as along the lines of other comments. So now, looking at what we've just gone around the table and talked about, I didn't hear in this round of comments a move to change or revote. But I want to give anybody the opportunity to suggest that or move in that direction, because we can do that. We can go through another round of voting, or we can accept this round, or we can tweak what we've got. So I'm open to proposals or comments from the committee at this point, or we can be happy with where we are with the commentary that we've made. Yep, Kent?
I think we should be happy where we are, and I think there's been enough commentary to inform the written part, but I don't think another vote would really get us anywhere.
No tweaks or adjustments?
The only thing that troubles me is Dale's point. And I would just ask everybody to really think about, were they really thinking about measure prioritization, or were they really thinking about what's important in the health system? Because I think a few of the results really reflect what's important in the health system rather than the measure development. And
to be honest, I mean, I that was in the back of my mind, but I think one or two of my votes probably are, this is an important issue we need to grapple with. So none of us want to stay here past 4:30, but I have a sense his point's an important point.
Mm-hmm. Important enough for a revote?
Maybe just give people a chance if they want to move a dot from someplace to somewhere. Maybe there's one. I mean, to me, the area research, quality improvement, and knowledge dissemination got 7 votes under systems infrastructure, and I don't get the measure development aspect of that, for instance.
That's the pleasure of the committee. Well, I think Dale's point is well taken, and Ira, you're echoing it, is well taken as well. But I think the question is whether it'll make a difference.
Yeah. So maybe one or two items.
Well, I'm open to suggestions. We can tweak. Do you want to move some dots?
So I guess I'm going to ask Tom. at the end of it, I mean, this is a report that's going to HHS CMS. And there are something, you know, so I think Bill highlighted that there are some things that, you know, that would be great to have measures on, but boy, we sure just haven't got a clue how to do it. And so I suspect that regardless of where we end up, there will be some priorities that stand out that everybody, I think, will agree on, and your funder will agree on, that they need to fund some measurement development activities. There will be some things perhaps on this list that say, well, that'd be nice, but this really isn't ripe for measure development. So I guess I'm questioning whether changing, moving things up and down a little bit is going to make a big difference in terms of the end, you know, what happens with the report at the end of the process.
I would just say if, as George has pointed out, we think that there could be major shifts, I think the answer would be yes. But if the sense is that things may change by one or two votes, I don't think that's going to ultimately influence how this information is used.
So let me ask this. You know, you each had 9 votes, and you sort of know what you did. And just reflect for a minute on the point that Dale's made and what Ira's echoed around contemplating a little bit about, you know, where whether or not you really had in mind, you know, measured development as the focus rather than resource allocation. And then how many dots would you move, if any, with that reflection in mind? So are there people here that would move dots if they had the chance to revote?
I think the comment about ambulatory setting is the one that really struck me. I totally agree with a few people who raised the issue that, I mean, God knows, that's the area where we need to really get new measures, probably across almost, well, several of these areas. But it's listed in a strange place under Domain 8.
It's in a strange place, and it's
I think that
it's an unusual item compared to the other subdomains.
I don't think it refers to general measurement in the ambulatory setting. It refers to safety measurement in the ambulatory setting.
Right.
And I think it reflects the fact that the safety movement has grown up in institutions and hospitals and hasn't been reflected in the ambulatory setting. So was that your understanding when you made the comment? Or when other people made the comment? Yeah.
But the fact that we have lost the fact that we had sort of lost this concept that we were working with early on, that there's a dearth of usable measures in the ambulatory setting where the preponderance of care is delivered, because hospitals have always been the sites where things have to be measured.
Right.
It would be good if there would be a way to incorporate that concept into the report. I mean, we're kind of victims of the situations that we've been working in for the last several decades.
Yeah, when I reinforced that comment, I meant the broader ambulatory, not just, I mean, certainly safety, but broader than that.
Yeah, and I would think if you look at the rest of the list, there are many concepts here that can be applied in the ambulatory setting. So I think we need to emphasize the fact that in our discussion that the committee really feels strongly that the development of safety measures in the ambulatory setting is important. And by gosh, once we start thinking about that, we think we want to make sure that we have adequate measures across this whole list that are in the ambulatory setting where it's appropriate. That would be my comment.
And yep. Having it listed here doesn't limit it to that context.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would just reiterate something you said, because if I think I had the chance to move maybe two of my dots or three, I would move them on the cost piece. Because I think that that's one place as well, in addition to ambulatory, where I don't think we have any good consistent information. And we're all talking about value. We're all trying to figure out how to bend the cost curve. We have no idea how this looks across the board. And I don't see it happening quickly in terms of a consistent way to measure it. So I would move some of my dots.
You'd move some of your dots, huh?
That's already the most highly rated.
Yeah. Well, it's the most, but total cost as opposed to appropriateness. And because the point is that appropriateness is a critical concept. We need it. And efficiency, I mean, you can be as efficient as you want, but doing the wrong thing all the time and total cost going up, you know. And so the idea is that, particularly in the ACO kind of environment, you really do need outcome measures which measure total costs. So that would be my concern. But hey, go ahead. Rhonda.
George, I think your point on cost is a really good one. I guess I kind of assumed that in order to get to appropriateness and efficiency of cost, you had to get to direct first. So it was kind of, to me, it felt like it was already built in some way, but not necessarily caught.
You can get to cost by episode for knees, for example, which is a good example in this case. And without appropriateness measures, you can do a lot of them very efficiently, for people that don't need them, you know, and you can know the total cost of that. But when I'm saying direct cost or total cost, I'm talking about total cost of all care in a given care system, or total cost for institutional care.
Okay.
You know, aggregate cost.
Okay.
So
not really specific to a procedure or.
Well, I think that kind of concept, you have to know that in order to get to appropriateness.
But that's not what the definition.
Yeah.
They have a footnote there, and the footnote's not total cost. If you look at the footnote, it really is a different issue.
Yeah, really.
I mean, total cost isn't on the list when it comes right
now. Yeah, I just, I'm making my comment. So I guess even moving the dots around won't make any difference here. But I still stick with my as an individual member of the committee. Anyway, Rhonda?
Is there anything here that you see as a gaping hole that we just totally overlooked and people that outside of this process would just look at it and gasp, like, what were they thinking? Like I did in the IOM report for national priorities. I said, what were they thinking? Anything here that just stands out? This was not an easy task. There's so many things to choose from.
Well, one thing that stands out, George just brought up, we can measure efficiency in some way, but we don't link it to outcomes.
Yeah.
With any of these measures. Any readmissions, observed expected mortality, anything. And that should probably be a important footnote in our report.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring up again, I think it's how you define efficiency. If you're going to do it in a way that it's done in industry, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the total care in a way that measures quality, cost, and patient satisfaction per episode over the continuum. That's efficient care. Now, if that's not defined this way, people are going to look at it through their own prism as to how they're going to look at efficiency, and they're going to most likely default to an industrial model, which is not what I had in mind.
Yeah.
I would agree with you. That's how I was viewing the definition of appropriateness and efficiency. So if that's not the definition.
Is that the definition we're using in the report? What definition are we using in the report?
So
NQF has a endorsed framework for looking at efficiency, and it harkens back to what Karen presented in that total picture of care from the population at risk all the way through follow-up, and it's meant to reflect the combination of inputs and outputs, the costs and the quality for the total care, and summed, then that could be for any population. That's what it's meant to reflect.
As I understand the way that was developed, it was developed for episodes, but is that not how we mean it?
Well, George, it built upon the traditional definition of patient-focused episodes, which actually was over 30 years old, but it did not build upon grouper methodology. And the group was very strong about that. So if you're thinking about, you know, ETG type of groupers, as Fred has raised, you know, that wasn't the approach of the group. What they were looking when they were defining an episode of care, and that's why we tried to name it patient-focused
episodes. But it's not how it's defined is the issue, Karen. It's whether it's based on episodes or not.
It's based on a trajectory of illness over time. The group initially put a year so that we could at least have some type of starting point. But as was raised, it would be important.
For an episode of care.
Or for
all care, as Fred just said. That's the point we're trying to get to.
Right. Well, I think as we move into the multiple chronic conditions, and, you know, you're going to have to encompass much more of that in. I mean, initially, it did operationalize it by a condition-condition approach. But if you look across the whole trajectory, you'd be bringing in what was done in the community, what was done in evaluation and management, what was done in follow-up care. I guess I'm just trying to distinguish it between a traditional grouper type of methodology, which
right.
looks at that start point, end point.
That's an important question, but not the question that's on the table. The question's on the table.
Sorry, yeah?
The question that's on the table is whether when we say efficiency in this report, whether we're talking about an episode-based definition of efficiency or whether we're talking about efficiency as Fred just and Rhonda have just referred to it.
So I would
which
say,
is different
yeah.
than what you're talking about.
Well, the report, the endorsed framework defines efficiencies as multidimensional, including quality and cost, and that you wouldn't be able to evaluate efficiency without having both of those components or without looking at patient-focused
right.
outcomes and total costs.
Episode by episode or for all the care in that a clinic provides?
I'm sorry, I'm not making the distinction. Sorry.
I know. We're missing each other.
Yeah, sorry, George.
So, Tom, are
Tom,
you?
Tom, help me out
can
here.
You help?
So I think we can leapfrog to an answer for this report. If the committee's sense is
right.
that we're moving toward wanting to look at total cost of care because of where we're headed with things like ACOs as opposed to where we started looking at episodes for our initial efficiency report, I think these are directions that we're moving in. We're moving in more of a population focus, moving away from a disease and episode focus. So let's get the sense of the committee, and if that's the way that this group wants to reflect that in terms of your highest priority here, that's the way it will be reflected in the report.
George, I think I just made a leap because, you know, in the report, in this endorsed efficiency report, they actually speak to the ACOs because we were thinking forward to that, and that this measurement would not be able to occur unless there was some type of organizing structure. We called it an accountable
yeah.
care entity versus an ACO because that
really.
Kind of conjured the hospital model.
And I understand that. I've been talking with Ellie about this point. So, but I think that we're not connecting about what the question is here. I heard Fred and Rhonda say that they – so say it again what you think this meant to you when you voted. Fred first and then Rhonda.
Well, to me, efficiency, and I don't think they're mutually exclusive, whether you talk about episodes or the continuum of care for a larger mm-hmm. group, it includes a concept of high quality, low cost, high patient satisfaction for an episode of care or a continuum of care, depending on what you happen to be looking at. But the concept of efficiency would not be merely a production for a low-cost concept.
Right.
It would include all of it.
And the important point that Fred just said from your standpoint, Karen, is that it could be for an episode or for a continue or a larger group, larger aggregation of care. And so, Rhonda, now say what you thought you understood.
I agree with what Fred has said, but I think I'm not understanding what you mean by total cost, and if you're talking about a system like, let's say, Kaiser.
Yep.
Is that what you're talking about, measuring
cost?
Cost. And are you taking into account administrative costs? Is that
yes.
part of what you're getting to?
Yeah.
So that
everything.
You just throw out system A may do it and have a good quality,
yep.
but their efficiency may be good, but their administrative costs may be so high.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the part that's missing out of this
yeah.
formula. Okay.
But and is your denominator member months?
Could
or
be.
Is it needs?
Could be either.
Could be either.
Lynn is next.
I think I'm a little confused. When I think about total cost, and there, to me there's a difference between episode of care and the continuum of care, particularly for older adults with multiple chronic conditions, you have to take into account the family costs
right.
of providing care as well. Is that part of the total cost?
Well, you know, that's the question I'm trying to get to.
I'm struggling with
whether we're talking about aggregate total costs as somehow defined in some fashion, or the way we have in measurement, quality measurement, used efficiency, actually going from the committee that I was on with Elliot, efficiency is a concept that's associated with a single episode that looks at, that relates the comparison of a quality of care to a pathway or a protocol of care, either idealized, which is the way that the Bridges to Excellence group, Prometheus, would look at it, or it's a concept where you look at costs versus outcome for, again, an episode of care, like a year of diabetes care or a year of heart care or a year of knee care. The issue here is that if you have eight of these things, whatever they are, they don't add up to the total of care that's being provided in the care system. And so, therefore, there's no discipline around cost or efficiency in the sense, part of the sense you meant, took you to mean it, Fred. I don't know if you really mean, you know, now that I talk about it a little bit more, or that I heard Rhonda echo. So if we're not clear about what we mean here, then, you know, in terms of the way that these terms are commonly used in measurement, we may not be communicating clearly about what our priority is. And the only reason I'm dwelling on it is because my concern is that we're not talking about that other total cost concept. Now, John, go ahead. You might want to get in here.
In looking at things a little bit in longer term, we have used within these definitions wellness and proactive.
Yeah.
And that's a cost as well. I know
right.
short-term episodic, that's what we're doing today.
Yeah.
But in 5 years, we'll be looking more at wellness and proactive. And then I just wanted to comment on continuum. My sector calls it spectrum of care because continuum has a start and a finish, and us old guys don't like the finish. So we talk about spectrum because people move around with different care providers, and it's really a spectrum of care
yeah.
rather than a continuum of care, except in a disease state, which might have a
yeah.
start and a finish.
Ira, so to be honest, I don't think many of the people who voted for efficiency were where you are. But I think the discussion fits into the earlier discussion we had. Just turn around. You have your integrated framework for performance management,
yeah.
and it says clinical episode begins and ends.
Yeah.
And what we talked about is that's the starting point, but where we're moving towards is where you're talking about in terms of total
yeah.
care. So I think you could waffle a little bit and present it in that context rather than saying here's our
yeah,
one definition.
We might well capture some of this discussion, you know. Now there's no right answer here. I think it's just discussion about what we mean by the concepts. Other topics. I think we beat that one to death. Other topics. Other comments. Are you happy with it? Do you want to tweak it? I have a sense you don't want to revote it. Now, what about the earlier in the day we had the suggestion that afterwards we do an exercise where we would do email voting looking at the longer term. Do we still want to do that? Is that we can do? John?
I recommend we do some assumptions, though, before, say, we assume
okay.
EHR will be there, we assume EMR and that.
Well, what assumptions should we use? Should we use our best judgment and pick a point in time in the future?
That's one way to do it. Or the other way to do it is to make some assumptions, specific assumptions about what will happen between now and some future point in time.
Well, there is a lot of things on the board with CMS and that, like bundled payment things and all that. You could assume that most of the pilot programs will probably come about. But I think the EHR is a pretty definite thing that's going to happen, of interconnectivity and interoperability based on standards and certification. I mean, that train has left the station, so we can assume by 15 that those things, or 16 or 17, that those will be there.
I think the advantage to, say, picking a point in time in the future is that everybody then has to think about the same things you're thinking about, is what they think will happen by that point in time and what the issues will be. And I think that might be different for each of us, slightly different. And that might be a way to accommodate that. But I'm open to doing a list of assumptions, too. How far in the future do you want to think about that? 5 years, 10 years? Yep. Helen?
Just to make a very measure development-centric comment, it takes a long time, as some people in this room know, to develop measures. So I would say, if you're talking about true measure gaps where you need de novo measure development to get this done, it's a good 2 to 3, at least, you know, cycle to gather the evidence, get new measures up, get them up and tested, and get them out there. So I would assume, you know, fairly, if you want people to start meeting those gaps, they should assume developing measures. Probably my bias would be for interoperable IT systems for 3 years from now.
I mean, my guess is it's going to be very difficult for us to project, because if we want to know what we want in 2010, we have to know what's been accomplished. I mean, in 2015 or whatever, we have to know what's been accomplished as of 2013 or something. And I don't feel like I really know. I mean, if we've already addressed all the gaps around shared decision making, I'm going to feel very differently, you know. But I bet we've gone nowhere on that, you know. And so I think it's a very difficult, you know, exercise. Happy to contribute. I love games, think it's a challenge.
Kent, you made the suggestion earlier. I mean, have you got some suggestions about how we might think about this and construct this so it's useful?
I think it's really...
Use your microphone if you wouldn't mind.
Oh,
yeah, thanks.
I think it's really important that we think about where it is ideally we want to get, because as I think the fellow from Ankh said, you know, we always have these really quick deadlines, and so we never do it quite right. So I would pick either 5 or 10 years and then have each person think about their own assumptions and sort of try to put down what they think, how they would vote in 5 or 10 years.
So meaningful use, for example, rolls out in a schedule that slides from, 2013? Through to 2015 or 16, is that right? I forget 2015. And then their penalty. So you can assume that, say, by 2015, 16, 17, that we'll have substantial progress in terms of automated systems being in place, because there'll be incentives for people to put it. I don't know. We won't have everybody, but we'll have that will be one assumption that we might make by the late teens.
I have a solution.
Yeah, go ahead.
Part of my life, I was head of product development at Squibb, and whenever I got in conversation, I always put the date out pretty far so people didn't get all tied up in short-term things.
Yeah.
So if we put it out 10 years, then we'll really address what we should look like in 10 years rather than all the other barriers to getting there.
Actually, that's what I was sort of building toward is that kind of by doing this, is just thinking through a couple things. And if we were to say, well, 10 years from now is 2020, and you have now think about what will happen with the legislation and in other areas, and then let's think about another generation of what might be priorities. Let's then revote this based upon that thought and see if, as Kent suggests, that might be a different result, and that might inform the report. So that was the reason it was suggested, I think. And so, one, is that what you want to do? And then, two, structuring it that way, will that be a reasonable way to do it?
Given the comments, you might get as much information if we basically said 10 years from now, if the following infrastructure developments occurred, whether it's on the HIT side or on payment system reform, rather than having us vote, say, open-ended to each of us, say, are there major, you know, are there things that you think will be much more important from this list or much less important? And are there things we've left off, new areas that we really need to look at? And that way it's going to be hard to do a vote, per se, perhaps, but rather just to help inform, you know, Tom's, the report in terms of here's what the committee are thinking.
That's an excellent suggestion. I how do you feel about that suggestion, Ken?
That's good. It might be easier.
How do the rest of you feel about that? Did you get the question? I think that will help us a great deal in terms of structuring this exercise. Thank you again, Ira, for the suggestion. Okay. So I think we're done voting. We're done with our domains. We've got a mechanism for looking at the future. What else do we need to do here?
Public comment.
Can I just make sure the task is we are to do this by email?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll send out something that would have the question, and then we'll then compute and analyze and organize the comments and either send it back, or it might be around the time of when I would be drafting the report. So it would go in a section of the report, and then we'd give the report for people's comment as well.
So this will be an email exercise. You'll get an email, you'll look at it, you'll tend to want to bypass it because you've got so many other things to do, but we want you to spend some time on it and send it back. All right. So we want to open it up to the phone, and we've got two people from the public here in the room, and we'd love to hear from you. They're staff. Okay. So open up from the phone, comments from the phone from the public. Please open it up.
Star one if you do have a comment or question. And no questions at this time.
Thank you. Okay, next steps, is that where we are?
Can I add ask a clarifying question?
Yeah, sure.
As part of the proposal for the narrative response to the future scenario, would we anticipate that we're including in that we'd better, by golly, make sure that the following measures are in place given these assumptions of what the world is going to be like? Given it takes 5 years to develop a decent measure?
Right.
I mean, do we keep... Is there a way we should also be linking this back with the major in our title?
I'm not quite sure I followed.
I'm not trying to complicate the exercise, but I was thinking about what the comments back on the future scenario might include, and I wonder if we wanted to make sure that they would include some consideration of if this is what the world is like. What should we have developed by then as far as quality and other measures that relate to this scenario? Not to limit it to that.
I'm not sure I understand how to respond to that.
Are you saying as part of your assumptions what you would see?
Well, as I understand it, the exercise we're going to get a set of assumptions as to a future state. These things will be in place. These things will have happened. These things we don't have to worry about.
I don't think that's how I understood Ira's. I think Ira's was more or less suggesting that what we do is, instead of doing a revote, that we pick a date out the future, like 10 years, and we say, considering what we did and the results we have, and I forget the way that you phrased the questions, ask several questions, open-ended questions, and allow people to comment.
Okay.
And so I think you could put in that comment, whatever you felt was appropriate. I know I'm not doing justice to what you said.
Yeah, no, okay. We did mention the concept of maybe saying there were some assumptions about infrastructure development between now and then.
Yeah.
And you can either put that in or not.
Yeah, we can do
one way or not. There's going to be some flexibility in terms
of. If you have some suggestions, go ahead and make them about what we ought to include in that besides infrastructure.
And I think one of the critical things that Ira had mentioned was also what's not on the list, because I think that's a piece that maybe they didn't make it on because we were thinking 2010. But if we're thinking 2020, what would be some new gap areas that are not on the list, as well as what would shift to the top of your rank voting for domains and subdomains that are on the list as well?
Okay, so I'm going to move on to next steps. Is that okay? Immediate next steps on slide 38. We're going to have a public informational web meeting to present the background information, discuss the committee's process, provide an opportunity for the public to ask questions prior to the public comment period. So this is more to make sure we're being very open and public about our process, that we won't be making any decisions or anything at that point. And then there'll be a public comment period that follows that. And then as far as work and timeline, we'll conduct, the web meeting is up there at the top. We'll be seeking comments from NQF members and the public on the on the agenda here. So we'll develop the draft report, which we've talked about today, and then we'll be finalizing that report and agenda. And when will we see that report?
So we'll be sending out the report for both HHS review and the committee's review concurrently towards the end of November. You'll have about 4 weeks to review the report, and then we'll incorporate any final comments in late December, early January. So we hope to finalize it around then.
So as you get, as you're on the plane or on the train going back, and this is a fair amount of time distant from the end of November, you might want to jot down some comments that might help you with that you want to think about when you see that final report. So you'll have another whack at it toward the end of November, and then we're done right with this phase of the project. As I think was indicated by some of the conversation earlier today, at that point there's a question about whether or not the funding and our future scope of work. We have our plans, but the committee at the very least will be reappointed, or another committee appointed would be the more accurate way to put it. Hopefully many of you will want to be on that committee. But that'll be a process. I mean, our current committee expires at the end of this year. Is that correct?
Yes.
Some of us, many of us, may be together again, or we may not. So I think I should probably take this opportunity as the chair and on behalf of Ellen, who unfortunately could not be here today, to really thank this committee for just the tremendous amount of work that you've put into this, and doing the exercises, engaging on the WebEx, coming to these meetings and engaging the conversation. I think this has just been terrific. So I want to thank you all. And it's been a pleasure working with you. I think we're kind of really gelling now that we're almost done. Huh? So it's nice to have that sense that we're moving along that pathway. Also gives me an opportunity to thank the staff. This NQF group has been just terrific, and particularly Nalini, and I think in terms of what you've done. Karen has always been important in this. Tom's expert guidance and wisdom over the process has been very important. Helen and the rest of the people associated with this, wonderful. Thank you for great meeting setting and making this happen in a very appropriate kind of way. So we'll take questions at this point or any other comments. And Nalini, if you can talk about all the things I forgot to mention.
Oh, yeah. So I wanted to just quickly tee up a couple logistics. So in terms of travel expenses, for those who had not yet been reimbursed from the June meeting, our accounting folks have told us there's a two-month time lag. So even for this meeting, if after 2 months after you turn in your reimbursement, you haven't heard, feel free to contact us. But I think at this point, there's about a two-month delay, so we apologize for that. And then also your worksheets, if Deanna could come around and collect them, especially all the key issues that you've teed up, we will capture those into the report as well. And then finally, I wanted to thank both George and leadership that he has provided, as well as the work that the committee has done. We couldn't be more thrilled with how we've come together today to put together the final consolidated list, and it's been an absolute pleasure working with all of you. Also wanted to thank our team under the leadership of Tom Ballack and Karen Adams and Helen Burstyn, as well as our support, Sarah Lash, Edison Machado, and Deanna Taylor, and our meetings department who helped us put this meeting together. And last but not least, if you have any final questions on anything, I'll be around after the meeting.
If you could give us one last query of whether there are any comments from the public on the phone. Okay, thank you. Thank you all. We're adjourned. There we go.